I don't want to waste all night by sleeping.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam Hilchas Gerushin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf Aleph, Chapter 1, Halacha 21. In the Mosnayim text, that puts us on page 24 and 25. The last couple of halachas talks about how rabbinically we need, on top of biblically, we need witnesses to watch the transfer of the get from the man to the woman. We also have to have witnesses who sign it. We also have to have witnesses to read the get before they sign it. Okay, all those different things have to happen. Then we listed a few cases where if they read the get and then the husband puts it in his pocket and then takes out a different one, and you're not sure if, so then we say really they should read it again. What if he took it out of his pocket and then it got thrown into the fire, no one could read it? We say it's considered a get, because since they first read it, we're not that, you know, after the fact concerned that maybe he switched it. But then we come to another case. This was at least when the witnesses read it first. So now we come to Halacha Chaf Aleph, where the witnesses did not read the get first. Harei shelo koru haget batchilo. The witnesses did not read the get first, and they just watched the husband give the get to the woman. V'nosen la get bifneim, and then v'zaraktu la'ur olayam, and then it got thrown into the fire, into the sea. So the witnesses never ever read the content of what's in there. Afal pisha balo mer get kosher hoye. Even though the husband himself admits that it's a kosher get. And usually that would be a great admission on his part. Because if anything, the only problem is the husband is not wanting to divorce her. But he's saying, yes, still the law is, harei zo safek migoreshes. It's a doubtful get. And just like he's not prohibited to make her forbidden to others, he's not also permitted to make listen, we had a halacha kaf. He's not permitted to permit it to others, and therefore she can't get married lechatchila. But this is rabbinically not good. But if she indeed does get married to somebody else, what's the halacha? She'd have to leave, and she'd have to get a get, and it's a suffix, it's a complete suffix if she is divorced or not. So it's a major problem. Okay, that's Chaf Aleph. Now one more type of these cases. Chaf Beis. Zorek lo haget lechatzei ra. So the husband throws the get into her courtyard. And under those circumstances, it's good enough. Because it's her property. It's like her hand. But where did he throw it? Lebein hachavios bifnei edim. He threw it in between her barrels. She had a bunch of barrels somewhere in the one of the rooms. He throws it behind the barrels. And there's witnesses watching this, but they did not read the get. Okay, then they have to look and find the get that got thrown behind the barrels. So they're looking behind, and guess what they found? Upikshu matzu mezuzah. They find a mezuzah, and not a get. Oshtar acher, or a different type of legal document there, but not the divorce. So what do we say? Ein choshishim la. We're not concerned for it, to say that she's a doubtful divorce. Why? Shezeh shenimtza hu shezorek. We're not concerned that that's the one that you found is the one that he threw. Meaning to say, it's not likely you're going to find other types of shtaros over there. Right? So, therefore, I think the other way, right?
Yeah, he says in brackets here, it says, we do not suspect that she has been divorced.
You're saying the article that was found was the one that was thrown. In other words,
right,
it was the mezuzah that was thrown and not the get.
Okay. And therefore...
And therefore it's no good.
See, Ein Choshishin line, it says below the line, Shetihi Safek Gerushis, Gusheris.
What's the next phrase?
Shezeh Shanim Tzav Hushazarak.
Tzadi Tzadi Aleph.
Tzadi Aleph says...
Ein Choshishin line. So what does he say here?
And it says divorce is in doubt at the bottom.
She's not...
Even in the
second case, she's not divorced.
We don't suspect that she's divorced.
Yeah.
In other words, we assume that what was thrown is what
they
there.
That's so, normally you don't find mezuzah.
So we don't assume there's a get there. There's no get. He never wrote a get. It's unusual to find one over there, and we don't believe there was a divorce there. Mm-hmm. However, that's only if you find one document. Nimtzasham shtaim shalosh mezuzos or shtaros. Where do you find two or three mezuzos or shtaros of the documents? A whole bunch behind the barrels. All right. So in that case, and he only threw one document. So you got to say there were things there beforehand. Then choishishin shema get shazarak. Maybe then we're concerned. Maybe he did throw a get because there's already stuff over there. Aye, why is there not a get over there? Could be gororu achbarim, the rats,
the mice
carried him away. Verezo safek megoreshes. It's a doubtful case of divorce. Because since he only threw one document, and there were more than that one document there, we can't say that for sure the one he threw is the one that's there. When you only find one document, we assume the one he threw, that's the one that's there. And that wasn't the goal of divorce. But it's already more than one document, so how do you explain this? So how do you know how many documents were there? We see there's other documents there.
So the
it's not with certainty. It's not with certainty, but it casts enough doubt to make it a doubtful get.
So the first case isn't a doubtful get.
She's not divorced at all.
Right.
We assume what they found is what he threw.
Yeah. He gave him mezuzah as a present. That's all.
Yeah.
Right, but in this case, where you see a lot of documents over there, so there's obviously been other documents before over there, it's not unusual, so you can't be sure that the one he threw
is
that one.
Away.
That's a concern, therefore it becomes a doubtful get. Okay, moving on to some other issues regarding the Eidim. Chaf Gimel. Ha'Eidim shechoysim al get, the witnesses who sign the get, this is all rabbinically necessary, Shichim liosam yodim liros velachtum. They need
likros
velachtum. They need to know how to read the get. They need also to know how to sign a get, because you know if they're signing something, they pretty well should know what they're signing. You know, if they don't know how to read a get, then what are they signing?
I was going to say what happened.
Right.
Vim
edim yodim likros. Well, they don't know how to read. Well, karin bifnei because when we read it before them. And they sign it. Okay? And they sign it. But still, it can't be their total ignoramuses. Vushya kiru loshen aget. They have to at least recognize the wording that a get should have. So in other words, when they hear what's being read, they'll have some idea at least of what's being said.
And they said even
if they don't even recognize the language of a get, then it's not good. And even if they translate it for him, that's not good because now it's not like really testimony, so to speak. In other words, it's like you're getting hearsay evidence. It's not even what they read. It's a translation of it.
Let's say there's no Eidus to do with the Matargum.
So therefore, they would not be good under that circumstance. Okay? Now they bring down, the custom now is that both the witnesses and the rabbi who arranges a divorce does the reading of that. But in that case, it wouldn't work out. Now, what if im einem yodim lachtam? Whether or not a sign. This is an interesting problem when we have ksuvas, and I ask people to sign a ksuva. The guy's not a rabbi, it's always a fright. If you give a guy to sign a ksuva and he signs it terribly, he can make the whole ksuva puzzle. So whenever I'm not sure if the guy knows how to do it, first I take a separate spare and say, okay, let's just show me what your Jay Hancock looks like. And sometimes it really is bad. So I say, okay, let's see if we can do it a little bit better. But, so it's the same thing over here. What if you have a guy, but you have to do it subtly because you don't want to imply that the guy's an ignorant person. But there are many ignorant people in this area and you could mess up the whole ksuva. You have to write over the whole ksuva sometimes. So now these guys, let's say they don't know how to sign their name. So what are they going to do? So here's an interesting solution. Rosh Milhem Niyor Baroque. They take some spit. And they make the letters in spit on the document, which is not permanent, where the mark is not permanent. Because if the mark was permanent, then their signature wouldn't be a signature, because it's a signature on top of a signature. They're not signing on the document, they're signing on another signature, which wouldn't work. But since it's temporary, Vehem Kos and Al Rosh, and they write on the spit, they write on the outline, so to speak, and that is what they're writing. Ve'ein Olsin came Bisharshas, which we don't usually do with other documents, but we do this, why? Kolho, it's a leniency, Shehe Kelu Begite Nashin, that we are lenient by divorces for women, why? Kidesha Yibanos Yisrael Gunas, we don't want the Jewish women to be anchored and not being able to get divorced properly. Because if you'd have to find better witnesses that are experts, it could be within that time frame the husband will change his mind or die. She'll have to go to Yibum, etc. In other words, strike while the iron is hot. When the guy is ready to get divorced, and we have the Adam here, says, okay, they're not such, they don't know how to sign. Why? So we're going to find somebody. It could be another half an hour. You don't want to let it go by. So Rabbi says, here, just see the outline I made with my spit? Just write over it, and that's going to be your name. And that's fine. Since the signature is only rabbinic anyway, as we explained, therefore we're lenient, which we will not do by other documents. By other documents, we'll wait for guys who know how to properly sign. Whatever. So the business deal will fall through, the business deal will fall through. It's not the end of the world. But a woman not getting divorced, that's a terrible thing. And besides, the whole signature is only rabbinic anyway. And we don't want her to become not being able to get divorced properly. So therefore, we're lenient in those situations.
Robert, didn't we say, and I appreciate why we have this leniency, but didn't we say that we want to know that that's how the person's signature looks, and even if he dies, you can go back to his previous documents to see that that's
signature? You're right, but that's only rabbinically necessary. So we weigh that versus the fact that she may never get divorced.
Well, how many previous documents does this guy have?
Remember, it's only...
Well, he won't have any previous documents.
So I don't think there's any documents.
He won't have, but you're right. So we will... So the rabbis only make their rulings in cases where it's going to be beneficial. But here, where it could be she won't get divorced, the rabbis are more concerned that she could divorce maybe without a foolproof divorce, but it's still a halachically, biblically binding divorce that takes precedence over making sure you have the best witnesses, and it could, at the risk of her not getting divorced.
So could not the rabbi with this...
Well, it's biblical to sign, and they couldn't do this. But since it's rabbinic, the rabbis can make the rules in the rabbinic realm.
So could not the rabbi with his fiddle be one of the witnesses instead of aiding the witness?
First of all, it's only one. You need two.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's sitting for two.
Still not going to help.
Well, both of them need it, but he's sitting in one of them.
Okay, could be he could sign one, but whatever. Okay, let's move on now. Chav Dalet. Aval bisha chasima se'edim baget midivreim, even though the witness is signing the divorce is only rabbinic, the rabbis made a few more decrees on top of this decree. And even though that might be construed as a decree upon a decree, still all the rabbis want to strengthen their words to ensure that things happen right. So although that's the caveat here, even though usually you don't make a rabbinic on a rabbinic, but here we are. So here's the decrees that the rabbis instituted. Hiskino, for example, Shiha Adim Meforshim Shmosehem Beget. This is very interesting. They made a decree that the rabbis have to explicitly put their names on the get. You're going to wonder, well, what else were they doing? Well, you'll see in a second.
Aiding Mefarshim? It's not the rabbis, the Aiding.
I didn't say the Aiding. I meant the Aiding. The witnesses have to explicitly put their name on the get. In other words, they got to write Reuven. Now, what else was there? Well, in the beginning, what they did is all they had to write was, Ani Ploni Chasamti Eid. I am signing this as a witness. That's what they wrote, without saying their name, right? And he didn't specify his name, and that's the way it initially was done. I don't know why they initially did it that way, and then it would be very hard if you have to check the guy's handwriting to another handwriting. You're going to have a hard job to do, because okay, who are we looking for? We're just going to take random documents so we find signatures that fit, right?
Like
to be a big problem, right? So therefore they made a decree that they have to write their names, and then at least we're looking for names of that name at least to match up. That's what the commentaries say. For the life of me, I don't know why initially it was that way. I can't understand why initially the witnesses just sign, I am signing here that this happened. Yeah. Right, but that's what it says in my commentary. That's what it says in your commentary.
Unless
as well.
It has this person's name under the signature, like pre-printed. Yeah, and
but
it
what
says
is okay, and my I, the undersign. Okay, that's an interesting possibility. But then again, then we wouldn't need to do anything because we know which name we're looking for.
Right, but then he didn't have to sign his name because you could find that person.
But that's what they say. You have in your footnote, they're saying, I sign as a witness without mentioning their names. So again, I don't know why initially it was done that way. To me, it's like so, it sounds like something the government would think of doing, you know.
That's why I came up with an answer.
I'm saying, it's so not practical. You wonder how the rabbis ever did such a thing. Okay, I don't know. We'd have to look further into that Gemara for that. Okay, so that's number one. That's the first decree. Second decree.
I mean, it could be the names in small villages were not that meaningful. You know, this
but they all had a name.
No, but I'm just saying, this is Yaakov, and this is Yaakov, and this is Yaakov.
No, but it was always Yaakov and Ben somebody.
Yeah, but maybe
yes,
it's
Yaakov and Chaim Yaakov.
Yeah, and then it was 14 Yaakov and Chaim Yaakov, maybe. I don't know. It wasn't a surname in those days.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it. But anyway. Next, they also made a decree that for the witnesses on the get, the witnesses have to sign one in front of the other. And you can't like get one after, you know, get one guy to sign it and then in one room and then the other guy comes 10 minutes later and he signs it, even though they both saw it. But they have to sign it specifically in front of the other. Why? It's a pretty a distant concern, but this was the concern. It's called the decree, lest the case of kulchem, all of you. What does that mean? What if a man says to, when he's giving the get, he says, let's say there's 10 witnesses. He says to the 10 witnesses, I want the 10 of you write the divorce for my wife. I mean to say, I want the 10 of you, I'm divorcing my wife, and I want it to be that the 10 of you are writing the divorce and signing it. If that was such a case, now that's not the typical case, but there is a conceivable case like that. If you have that case, what's the law? So what happens? Well, one guy writes the bill of divorce, and the other 9 or 10 sign it. And you don't need to have it, but that's what he wanted. He wanted to have 10 guys sign the bill of divorce. Now, what if one of the 10 names is missing? What if there's only 9 signatures? The law would be the get would not be kosher because it was like a condition in the get. I only want this get to, it's like he's saying, I want the get to work only if there's 10 guys signing this get. For whatever reason, he wants that to happen. So now, what's gonna happen if people, now, therefore, what if you're not gonna have all the guys signing in front of each other? It could be maybe only 2 guys will sign it and they'll take the get and they'll think she's really divorced, but really the condition wasn't made. Therefore, they said, you always have to have everybody present at the signature even if there's no conditions made. In other words, because of the far-fetched case that could be where the guy wants 10 guys to sign, if they all don't sign, it's not good. So we're afraid that now people will confuse that with other cases. So if this guy signs it without, not in front of the other guy, you know, maybe you don't have enough guys. So therefore, we want everybody always to be in front of everybody. So therefore, in the case with 10, you're going to make sure that all 10 sign it. Because you can do one not in front of the other, then they'll figure, oh, I don't really need everybody to sign it. Right? So it's a far-fetched concern, but the rabbis are concerned even for cases like that.
Do we have to come out to that far-fetched case? Can't we just say, whenever we have 2 witnesses, they both have to see it at the same time, for example?
They see it at the same time, but why do they have to sign it at the same time? That's the point. So they both saw it. They both saw it. And then one guy says, I have to go to the bathroom. Okay, I'll sign while you're in the bathroom. And the other guy says, I'll sign. And then the other guy goes.
Maybe they have to witness that each other signed it. And if one signs it, the other one could be fake.
Double check.
Like they just need to both see that they're both each other.
But only one would be a witness to their signature. That wouldn't help.
They would each witness each other's signature and their own.
But that. It wouldn't help. If you're looking for testimony, you need 2 people to see him sign it. So therefore, we want both to sign it.
Okay.
Because of the possibilities of a problem of that far-fetched case. Okay. All right? And if they don't sign in front of each other, all right, say get puzzled. It's a doubtful get. And it doesn't work. Another decree they made. They said you have to write the date of the divorce. And the place of the divorce. Kishtar starts like other documents. Biblically, you really don't need it. Because as long as the document says she's divorced, what do you care where it was? What do you care what the date? What does it matter biblically? There were witnesses, they signed it, we know, and she has the bill of divorce, so she knows the husband divorced her. But you'll see in a minute, because there could be problems. What could be the problems? Shema tia ishto kravoso. Could be when his wife is married to him. V'tizne kishi tachtov. Whatever, if a man has a wife who has an affair, an adulterous affair, while she's still married to the husband. Okay? So now, what could the husband do to save her from getting killed? A woman who has an adulterous affair. And let's say there are witnesses who saw, on April 9th, they see this man's wife. This man's wife has had an affair. And the husband, you know, as much as he's not happy that his wife did it, but he still loves her and doesn't want to see her get her get killed by the Besdin. So he'll help her out. He'll give her a get the day after. He'll hand it to her. And when the people say, hey, you know, you were at an affair on the 9th. What's the problem? I have a get from my husband. He gave it to me months ago. If you don't have to have a date, then why couldn't you ever do that? And that would not be good. So therefore, he would want to cover up for her. So therefore, you've got to put the date on it. Okay? So he's got to put a date, you know, when this happened. Now you got to have witnesses to the date. Now, that's already a little trickier. Whereas if you just, let's say, on the 10th, you go to two guys, he just right, I'm divorcing my wife right now. Fine, I'm going to divorce her. They may not pay so much attention to the date themselves. And then a couple days later, people say, you know, your survey says, well, I divorced her. Here's the divorce. And no one's going to ask any more questions. And the witnesses weren't asking anything that was wrong.
Right, yeah.
But now you have to put a date on it. So the witnesses know it's the 10th, it's the 10th of Nissan or whatever. Okay. And the guy is going to write the 6th, right? When he says, wait, the date doesn't make sense over here. Why are you writing the 6th? Today's the 10th. Well, just do it anyways. I can't do that. That's a lie. I can't lie, write that you divorced your wife on the 6th when it's the 10th. Now you're right. Technically, the guy really, there's no end to, impropriety. He could get false witnesses to sign a false date, but, you know, we have to do what we can to make it right. So therefore, we're afraid that he would write again. So therefore, v'imlo yeah bozman, if they don't have the proper date, yichol omar, you can write this divorce and she could say, kodamaznus nizkar shashti, I was divorced before I had an affair with somebody. It wasn't an affair, I was a single woman. That's why they put the date in again. Now, in normal legal documents, you always need to have dates, because there's all kinds of responsibilities. She would nechasim, you know, you sold this, you weren't allowed to sell it, you owed people money. In regular business transactions, you always have with a date. But theoretically, there's no business transaction going here with a divorce. So biblically, you don't need a date. As long as she's divorced. But now we're concerned that, you know, the husband would cover up her nefarious activities. Therefore, you need a date. So that is not a possibility.
So that husband wrote a divorce and, you know, with B'dievid afterward, he put a date on it. And he backdated it, you know, or whatever.
He needs people to sign.
But let's say he did it again, without rabbinically. He just did it to Raisa. He did according to the Raisa. But he divorced
again. Listen, if people want to break the laws and not get caught, you always can get around it. You know, there's no end to people who can break. The rabbis can only do so much, right? If a guy wants to get a fake rabbi and a fake this and a fake that, you can always get away with things. But you know, you put in standard rules that will, you know, knock out most situations. You're right. A guy can pay off a rabbi too. You know, everyone's got a price. You know, take the greatest side of the world, pay him $10 million. And okay, he'll lie for you too, maybe. But we have to make laws that will cover 99% of the situations.
And here it's happening also to the woman. Because if she is not there, let's put such a way that...
But saving her life. I mean, there's a...
Saving the life of the woman because she was commit the crime, was not married. Because they're not married. It was grusha. You know, she
gets...
But not true. But if he's not dead in that...
That's right.
It's one of things that woman can escape from that. It's not...
Does it based in
I was,
give
I was the grusha.
If there are two witnesses, she has to get killed. What's Shiloh?
Yeah. So what about the story, like, you know, if any based in ever, you know, had more
we're
than
not, we're
one...
We're not getting into the... That's theoretical halacha. We have real halacha.
Was the situation...
You know, let's put it this way, Howard. Let's step it back. If a woman knows that the get has to be dated, she'll think twice before she wants to have an affair.
Right.
Let's put this: if a woman knows, let's say the woman knows she has a a soft husband, you know, soft guy, right? So listen, I have no risk of having an affair because even if Chaim Yankel catches me, I'll ask him to have mercy on me, and he'll write me again. Right? So, and Chaim Yaakov might do it. But the witnesses won't do it. The witnesses aren't, remember, a witness isn't good. But if the woman knows there's an easy way out, there's no deterrent at all. But if you know that you have to put the date down, it's not just the husband has to be easy going, you have to find two witnesses that are willing to lie. That's already a much more difficult thing to guarantee you're going to find. And that'll probably be a greater deterrent for her to do that at all.
I know Arya Kaplan spoke about also the place, according to Gemara, has to have the body of water. There has to be a number of different things when you write
to
the place.
To be very sure you understand the place.
It has to be very clear where the place is.
Okay, let's do one more. Chave.
Coordination.
Get sheyesh alav edim. Let's say a get has witnesses. Ve'ein bo zman, and it has no date. O shoya muktam, or the date was predated, o muuchor, or was postdated. Okay. O shenichtav bayom. I'll explain all the cases in a minute. Or was written, let's say, in the day 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is one day. But v'nechtam was signed balayla shelach the following night, which is going to be signing it a night afterwards.
Next day.
Right.
Next
day. Even though they're engaged in the topic of the marriage, it doesn't have to be 2 o'clock and 10 o'clock. It could be, you know, let's say they're like today, 7:40 and 8:20. Okay? So they were busy dealing with this, right?
They stopped
right? Or a number, all these cases are going to be psulim. So let's digest it. I don't want to run off so many cases and have to go backtrack. Well, let's just finish it off. Or, kasavas get birshalayim, or he wrote the get in Yerushalayim, the Tobi made a mistake because of Belud, and said it happened in Lud. Call Elip Sulim. These are all puzzles. Ad until what? Yachtamo bismank sivaso. They must sign it on the day they were written. Ubemakom sivaso in the place that they were written. So let's take a look at all the scenarios over here. Okay, if it was a predated get, in other words, they wrote the get in, let's say, Cheshvan. That's when they actually wrote it, but they put the date in Tishrei, right? So that for sure is not a good get, because we assume that the guy did it because the wife was immoral. Mm-hmm. Now, again, how are we going to know it was predated? You know, again, you'd have to have a situation where we know it was predated. A guy could fool us, technically, but it's where the Beis Din sees it was predated. Now, it could be maybe she didn't fool around. But the Beis Din just says, you know, this thing was dated early. The ink is fresh, and it says it was a month ago.
The date on the get had some one thing, and when the witness signed it, he signed a later date.
So that's for sure not good. Now, what about mu'uchar? What about that you signed it? You wrote it, and it was signed, you know, in Tishrei. But the zman you wrote was cheshvan afterwards. Now, here's the problem. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with writing it later? So if she fooled around, when is she going to fool around? I mean, you wrote the date even later. It's even worse if she fools around. Yeah. The answer is very simple. If you allow post-dated ones, people make a mistake and think you did a predated one.
Dates have some.
Right? And also, there's other problems. If you make it post-dated later, she could lose a lot of her fruits of the land that the husband could sell. In other words, if they got divorced today, and he postdates it a month from now, here's a month where he could use up her property.
Yeah.
She would really lose. Yeah. So therefore, a postdated one, even on for that alone, would not be a good thing as well. Okay, what's the next case? It was signed in the day, right? It was written in the day, but it was signed the night afterwards. So that becomes a predated get.
Right.
Because he wrote the date. The date was written, let's say, the 21st of Nisan. But it wasn't signed until the 22nd, so it really isn't effective until the 22nd. So it's like a predated get. Okay, now there are some who say that this is okay. Some Pinchas disagree with this Rambam at that point, but that's okay. Now, what if they, even if they were engaged in writing the get until it was finally signed, just like other ones, where were other documents, a debt document would be kosher, but here we say it's not. All right, now, what's the last thing there? He writes the get in Yerushalayim, and he says it's in Lud, it's Pasul, rabbinically, and therefore she can't get married, l'chachid others. Now, what's the problem of that? Why should it be a problem if you write the wrong date?
Because the, no,
the wrong place.
Because you have to sign it in that place.
So, but what? So what's what would be the harm in that?
Because you're signing in another place. That's like post-dating or predating the check.
Why?
It's the same date.
Everybody agrees that they were.
But it's a different place. You're reciting and testifying. This is the place that it's signed at.
Okay, so it's wrong, but why? Running. But what's
they're on a ship. They're not sure where
what's
they are.
The problem?
That they're in Lud. And
they're clear. They said you were Shalayim. It says here, then they can write it in Lud.
Maybe they're a little shicker.
I don't think you're allowed to be shicker when you're right.
Yeah. Which side of steels you're on?
All right, but anyway, it has to be signed at the right ad shiach until it is signed bo bisman ksivoso, the time that it was written ubimkom ksivoso, and the place where it was written has to be all done in that same place.
So
okay.
Shulchan Aruch disagrees with that, but doesn't give a reason.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. We'll stop over here.